Hello, hello, indie warriors, indie legends, or random passerbys of the podcast. This is Outside the Echo Chamber, podcast hosted by I Dream of Indie Games. Your usual suspects are here, minus one gentleman. We have Silent Signs. Hello.
Hello.
And we have Legend of the Star. Yes, Joe will not be with us. He went to the farm upstate.
He got tired of hearing about panties and boob sweat and general female things and has decided to sit this one out.
Vacate the premises.
Yep. So you get an all ladies cast. All right, let's start first with how our week has been. Legend, tell us about your week.
I had the mail person say they delivered my package, but they lied. That was my week.
Right to
That
your
was my
face.
week. And so I ranted about it on Twitter. So, and which is cool because then the company saw. And now I get to get free products. So hopefully it'll come to my door. But other than that, I don't know. The day has been pretty good. My daughter wants to try public school.
Exciting.
She'll be in high school, so that's going to be interesting. It's just hard because she has neuropathy in her feet, because of all like the cancer treatment that she went through. It's like one of the side effects from radiation, like full body radiation. So I'm trying to find a school that she can attend that may not be as big as the one close to us, so that if she does have to walk from class to class, it won't be too much for her. So that's good. But it's weird because I'm so used to them being in Montessori. Right. And Montessori has a different, I guess you could say, like grading system compared to most schools. So it'll be interesting to see how it works. But, if public school doesn't isn't something that she decides later that it may not be a good fit for her, we at least have a Montessori high school that we can fall back on. So, I mean, that's something that's kind of optimistic. And my dad's like, he wants my youngest daughter to not be in virtual school anymore. But it's like, yo, she's thriving. Like, why? I can't take her out of it. It's she's thriving in it, so that's kind of a conversation that we're having right now. But other than that, I think my week's pretty decent. I hate responsibility and it sucks having to do responsible shit,
Yes,
but
gross.
it's so gross. And it's been so gross and sweaty too with the weather. And so my headaches have been kind of off the cuff. But I'm not on my period anymore, speaking of periods, so that's fine.
Yay.
I was lucky enough to get my period after vacation and not
Ooh.
during. So, woohoo! And I'm hoping I get my period after PAX and not during either, because conventions and periods do not mix.
No,
Nope.
no, no. That's the kind of stay at home and suffer.
Yeah, basically, just drink and heating pads at the wazoo.
Heating pads, the
Oh
true
man.
bliss of this world.
You
Right.
can drink, or do you just mean like water? Because if I drank, I would have an even worse headache.
Both.
I wish I could be like you. I just can't do it.
I get really sleepy on my, which sucks, but
Same.
it's so exhausting, so awful. How was your week?
Which
I'm gonna go with
wants
you,
to go?
Silent Signs. I'm gonna go
Oh,
with you.
it's been trying, I guess is the right word. I was on vacation until this week. And I came back to work. And you know when you have like separated some yourself from something for a while and you go back to it and you have that level of clarity you didn't have before, and you're like, wow, this is terrible. Like, this is not good for me. That's what happened. So I'm trying to calm down and take a step back and consider what I want to do with my life because this ain't it. So we were just talking about this before the podcast. What do you ladies look for? Like, where do you look for work, and how do you define like fulfillment out of a job.
I don't define fulfillment out of a job.
But like relatively speaking, you
relatively
know,
speaking, does it line up with the things that matter to me the most? So what matters to me the most is my personal time. It's not a sense of like, I have been the greatest of teacher. So I look for jobs that allow me to have more personal time and more control over my own schedule. So I can be flexible. And also I, knowing what you like, I very much prefer to work independently. Mm-hmm. So jobs that allow me to kind of be my own, my own agent of chaos is what I go for. Mm-hmm. And see, also, if you see like the pay isn't good, don't go for it. Don't go for it.
But the problem is I took my current job because the pay looked good. But that was the only thing that looked good about it. And now I am seeing that that is not what I value. While it has been slightly nicer, it is not nice enough where I feel like it's fulfilling in any sense. So anyway, that's what my week's been like. But I've watched some real cool games that y'all have played.
We've played many things.
How was your week, Rose?
It was a week.
Yes.
It was filled with drama and turmoil. I went to training to be a teacher, and I liked it. It was fucking disgusting. Ugh. I was expecting to go in and be like, I'm above this. I have transcended. I will only do digital content creation. And then I'm in there talking about the shit. I'm like, fuck, I am a nerd. I like this crap.
I love this shit.
I don't want to teach the children. So there was that. It was nice. Talked to some people. None of my coworkers are gamers, which broke my heart, but I was expecting it.
Yet. Maybe you can persuade them.
Convert them to the will that it's gaming.
I have found that some people don't like to talk about it at first, but secretly, when you get to know them, they actually play some games. Like, I had a new manager come in, and looking at her, talking to her at first, you would not think she played video games. But then I got to know her, and she started asking me about video games. And I was like, you play some games? And she was like, yeah. So, you never know.
Oh shit! You're right. I need to keep my mind open.
Mm-hmm.
Whether I found out that my daughter's dentist actually she was an avid WoW player.
What?
And spent like half of her time. Yeah, because I just was you know they casually ask you what you do. When you first meet them, and I was like, yeah, well, you know, I game a little bit here and there, and I do content creation, and then she just was telling me about all of her WoW stuff, and I was like. Okay, you're pretty cool.
You just awesome. Never know.
All right. I was like, oh. So then like she'll ask me stuff and it's nice because then you kind of have that, you know, you can relate because most people like in the workforce, again, like you said, they don't really admit it, but they don't realize too, like if you play mobile games, you're a gamer, like that still counts.
Sure. Yeah.
But I guess because they're doing it on their phone, it doesn't register to them that they're, but it's like, no, dude, if you have like a lot of games that you play, or even just one that you play all the time, that, you know, that makes you a gamer. So
my 65-year-old coworker, she sits there, bless her heart, with her little tablet. I don't know, it's like some kind of Amazon tablet, and she plays games, and I'm like, look at you go, 65, playing your games. That's gonna be me someday.
I love it. I was like, I think it's fantastic.
Oh, well, I'll keep my perspective open, and if not, I will convert to them. Mm-hmm. I will find out how to incept indie games into their brain. All right, our weeks have been busy. Seems for all three of us. Our question. First question I love. Legend, I don't know if you were in the stream earlier, so you might not get this one. How do we feel about twerking in video games?
I did miss the stream, so I was not privy to that. I'm gonna have to watch the VOD now.
Yes, you will.
As I always do. I actually do like to catch up on all the videos that we do here in I Dream of Indie, but I think it's fantastic. I think twerking is allowed. I think that the fact that people like twerk on their streams and they get banned for it is absolutely ridiculous. I think that's stupid. But I guess there needs to be more twerking. More bootylicious. More bootylicious in games. Now, if you have a flat butt, you know, twerking doesn't may not work best for you. So I think it depends on the character themselves. But
he did not have a flat butt. He was
he's got a bootylicious. Really had a big boot. We'll see there. Oh, he's got a big
he's
booty.
Got cheeks. Don't worry. Right? I'm
pulling it up. If it jiggle jiggles.
it jiggle jiggles. It does not fold. That no. is that mm-hmm. is correct. And let's that find the exact moment I figured out I can twerk. Continue.
Oh, Joe could probably twerk. He just has to like go in the squat shitty position.
No, he cannot right? twerk. I've seen can't? Him try.
Have you it tried?
Mortifying.
Is it? Oh,
Yeah. There's just not enough there. I don't know what else to say.
That's awful.
No, you gotta feel oh, sorry here for we the go.
I do a little it. Bit. Yeah, I feel bad for him.
Legend. Oh. Here is Wait a second. I'm having a moment here. There we go.
Oh, God. This game.
This anime is hilarious to begin with.
There he
goes. Oh, my God. That is amazing.
I twerked all over.
Good. You should have.
This shit broke me as a human in the best way.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad that we both had games that made us laugh. Hilariously over the stupidest.
Yeah. Wild that we both had these.
Right. I still remember Joe and Chat was like, up. Congratulations, you're 12 years old again. Yes. Yes, there I am. Yes, there I am. I love it. Yes, you have to. If you've got a booty that bounces, you got to do it.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, this is a character trait of this. My husband was telling me about this. He loves to twerk.
Okay.
Well. He it's not twerking in the show per se, but that's what I think of when I see those bouncing cheeks, you know? It's hard I not think that's to.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But let's get to an actual question, although twerking in streaming can definitely be a very interesting and just like, you yeah. know, the variance in streaming can be a topic. But let's I had another one. Some of the games we reviewed this week, oh yes, brought in many different opinions.
That they did.
So, how do we deal with negative comments online? What are your strats?
Pro strats only.
Yes. Pro elite, get good.
I know we've kind of talked about this before, but like, particularly on, we covered a game called Pulling No Punches, right? Which is a brawler about not the pandemic, but also very clearly the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Further kind of complicated by the fact that the game takes place or was created by Brazilian, I want to say. I think it was Brazilian creators.
I believe so, yeah.
I mean, I think their experience of the pandemic was a little bit different from ours in America as well. So
a little bit.
Added to confusion of how the game was kind of perceived, and man, some of the comments on that were brutal. So just curious, how do you deal with it? Do you just find the tried and true ignore it, don't feed the trolls? Do you sometimes feel like you have to kind of feed the trolls? Do you think you can convert them if you are just extra nice, you know, sugar or honey over
no.
vinegar?
No. No. Yeah, I don't think you should be nice to trolls at all. I think that trolls, you know, I think it depends on the situation. Like, yeah, there are certain times where you should just ignore them and just whatever, because that's all they want is for you to react to them. But then there are other times where you're just like, you can't be that fucking stupid. You know, like you have to be like, look, bro or ma'am, you know, whatever gender you identify as, you're dumb. You're dumb, and I'm gonna give you a burn better than Elmo and on fire. To help soothe my consciousness and maybe make you hurt a little bit. I, you know, being a Twitch streamer, you counter that a lot on live streams. I'm very lucky on, you know, the I Dream of Indie channel. I haven't encountered many trolls on my live stream, like a couple of them, but it's like they weren't really, you know, anything to sort of wave a finger at. But I've had a lot of trolls come into my channel and talk shit specifically. And, you know, because of my personality, I don't necessarily let a lot of things slide. You know, I have a very dark and sarcastic sense of humor, which is why we all get along so well here in I Dream of Indie. And a lot of them I was actually able to convert, not by being nice, but by being a total dick and making them feel stupid. And then they're like, oh, you're funny. You know, and now a lot of them are actually my community members. Like, wow. For many, yeah. Many years.
Yeah.
And I don't get trolled as often anymore because it just, you know, you sometimes, you know, I'm not Michelle Obama. You know, if you're going to go low, I'm going to go even lower, depending on the situation. You know, I can't brush things off because sometimes things just need to be said so that you can not only stand for yourself, but stand up for other people that may have been in that same situation.
I feel you. I am of the petty grudge holding variety. So I see that shit. And the stupider it is, the more I'm like, I need to highlight your stupidity. I want to put a spotlight on that bitch. Circling back to the pulling no punches shit. Okay. I find it hilarious that so many people are upset about a brawl game where you beat up people for not wearing masks because I should have the right to do whatever I want. It's like, aren't you? These are the same kind of people that would call you sensitive. That would call a person like, you're a sensitive snowflake. Science, blah, 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 blah. It's the same individuals. Listen, maybe that's not you. But I remember when it was prime COVID time. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get groceries and I'm freaked the fuck out. And there's some old bitch basically on top of me. Even if it wasn't COVID, get off my ass. Mm-hmm. Personal space. And I think that's something that's kind of come up with COVID is the influx of like, I need my personal space. And you being breathing on my neck doesn't move you any further up in the line. You're still behind me. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of people, they see their behavior get called out or they see something that they feel called out in, whether they know it consciously or not. And then the gremlin comes out like, don't you dare. Mm-hmm. Me, 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 me. It's like, maybe you are the problem, though. So it was not a very pretty looking game and it had many other flaws. You know, it had plenty of flaws in that it's just very mediocre from what I saw in the review, what y'all talked about.
Yeah, it is kind of broken.
yeah. But like the conceit itself, whatever.
The funniest thing of all was we covered the game very objectively. Like we didn't even touch on the political aspect of it. We kind of acknowledged that was the story they were going with and moved on.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people just said, well, you covered the game, so obviously you're the asshole. And it's like, I didn't make this shit. I just played it. I was asked to play it and I played it.
Because that's what they want to talk about. So they're injecting it in.
Yeah. And if anyone actually paid attention to the majority of the news, Brazil was hit the hardest because they were listening to the rhetoric as far as what you needed to allegedly take in order to cure it. You know, they were listening to our former Cheeto at the time. And you know, their president wasn't exactly the best dude. He's not, you know, he's not exactly the best guy. You know, he's one of the most formidable dictators that they have in that country. And a lot of people died who didn't need to because of the misinformation that was provided. So, you know, if they're going to talk shit, that's fine. But at least have some knowledge behind, you know, the trolling that you're attempting to do. Yep, you know, just telling someone, well, you should be wearing a mask or, you know, you wear a mask too. And it's like, dude, it's a video game, number one, you know, and number two, you know, look at how far that we've come since then and how that country has sort of learned from some of its mistakes And now, you know, people are doing a lot better, but it's like, you know, why are you, you know, don't talk shit about stuff that you don't fully understand, especially when it comes to a video game who's really just giving their opinion, mm-hmm. you know, of how they perceived it happening and how, you know, things were done. And it's a brawler. Like, what are you going to do? Like, the whole point of the game is to punch people, you know, and the fact that they were punching people that didn't wear masks. I mean, nowadays I would still want to. Who knows? Yep. I still wear mine. I wore mine at Universal. Was it hot and uncomfortable? Absolutely. Do I wear one outdoors? Not always, all the time, because I'm outside, you know, yep. So I don't feel the need to necessarily. But if I'm in a line or if I'm in a crowded space, I'm going to wear one because there's monkeypox now, you know, COVID still isn't gone. It will never be gone. It's still going to be a part of our lives. And the fact that it's mutating to sort of adapt to the changes that we're also making, you know, do you want to, you know, get sick and possibly, you know, die or have long-term illnesses because of what you went through? Like, dude, seriously? Like, people are just stupid.
Yeah. Either way of, you know, whatever side of that debate you even fall on, at the end of the day, it's a video game. I personally, I'm not a, like, violence is the answer type of gal. In case you haven't noticed, in real life, I'm very passive.
I feel you.
Yeah, I'm not.
I feel you completely. And in video games is where we can release all that inner aggression. But in real life, you know, it's like, I'm not going to punch anyone. I'm just going to fume silently and walk away quickly.
You only have control over yourself at the end of the day, and that's what I do. So, you know, whatever. Make your video game. It's a free country. I didn't think it was that funny, per se. But also, I think a lot of the people commenting were Americans, or at least not Brazilians.
Yep.
And I think they were kind of missing the point entirely. So, you know, me.
Commenter is gonna do their shit. Like, the comment I responded to, which has disappeared, so no one shall know. I put it in the, it's the one that I put the screenshot in the...
Oh, I know. I know which one you're talking about, but...
Yes, I couldn't help it. The
kitty cat? Yeah, that's Sushi.
Oh, Sushi! What a cutie pie.
Sometimes I caught my cat on my daughter's lap, and that made me mad because he'll go on my mom's lap. He'll go on my dad's lap. He'll go on my... And I'm like, look, dude, I'm the one who cleans your litter and fucking feeds you.
Wow.
Like, you're the only reason you're able to pee is because I give you medicine every day. Like,
and yet they resent you for that, don't they?
Yes, and it's like, you're so mean. You're so mean. It's so awful. The only reason I got the cat too was because the dog was going in their laps as well. And I'm like, oh, finally, maybe I can get this one to cuddle me. No, bastard.
Our darling. Well, anyway, pets. That kind of covered the first review from this week, anyway.
Yeah.
So, Rose, do you want to talk about Lost and Play? Because that game looked sick.
So, Legend saw a good chunk of like this all the way to the end because I was recording and I was like, I see that Legend and King are in the chat and in the Pamelia, right, Discord, and I was like, let me get in there. So we were all just kind of like chilling together, shooting the shit a bit, and I'm sharing the screen as I'm just continuing to finish the game. So that was a fun experience and got some help from them and also my husband with some of the puzzles.
Nice.
I called him in quite a few times of just like, I tried this enough and I can't figure it out.
Help.
Yeah. Hey, take over, please. I want to enjoy this delightful game. What a delightful point and click adventure puzzle game. It is so cute. It's so... The music, the visuals, the entire narrative is just like, it's like a warm hug of your childhood, you know? Like, if you don't like point and clicks, it doesn't matter. You'll like this if you like that kind of theme, that kind of imagery, we'll say.
Delightful. I loved it.
It's beautiful. It looks like a cartoon, straight up.
It looks like a cartoon. It was the coolest thing. Like, I couldn't hear anything of what she was doing, but I could, like, watch... You know, a little bit of what, and it was just like watching a cartoon. It was the coolest thing to be able to see. And the fact that it was just point and click, I would not have thought that a game like that would be point and click. You don't really envision point and clicks like that.
Yeah.
So it was really beautifully rendered. And the storyline itself, just the review overall, was fantastic. It was a really great game to peek at and to watch and to just enjoy Rose's perspective on it. It was fantastic. I liked it.
Agree.
I'm glad you liked it. I loved it. It's very good. If you have not seen the review, if you have not heard of the game, if you know people who have not heard of the game, hi, Wally. Yes, look.
Wally has something to say. There it is.
Thank you. I love your kisses. Stinky dog kisses. I recommend this game. You know anybody who thematically would enjoy, you know, this title, the childhood cartoon nostalgia, a little bit of like the wacky side, paranormal-esque, but in a light, playful way. Recommend them this game. Tell them to play it. It's a fantastic time. I did another video.
Yeah.
Cult of the Lamb.
And
it's good.
It's good.
It's good. It's fun. It's really cute. It's a very well-made game. It's not a Golden Genie lamp winner for me because it doesn't reinvent the genre in any way. Like, it didn't do anything that shooketh me.
Mm-hmm.
But what it did fantastically. You know, it's just like, that was really, really fucking good. And it's kind of, I feel like in some ways, it's a little more of like a visual delight more than the gameplay. Like, the gameplay is fun, but getting your followers and customizing their look and designing your little camp and dancing with them and sacrificing them, that I think that's where most players are going to be like, hee hee. I'm running a cult.
I just love how cute everything looks, but at the same time, there's like demonic shit going on. Like, that is my sweet spot. Adorable things that are also demonic. So,
yes, it's got that in spades.
Mm-hmm.
Galore. But it is very good. It is definitely up to the hype, I would say. I don't know how much people are hyped about this. Like, are people, I don't know if people are like, this is gonna change gaming forever, because at least when I saw the trailer and all that stuff, what caught me was the same thing you're mentioning, signs of like cute and horror creepy put together, and they did it. They did it perfectly.
Yeah.
Well, now they have Twitch integration. So that is a neat little thing that they've added. I noticed when I was going on the Twitter. And where the fuck is our lamb plushie? Who got the lamb plushie?
Oh my God.
And why did we not get one? That's so not fair. I don't understand who that is. I'm sure it was just like a dev thing, but I like the fact that they have integration. What sucks is though, of course, no one really thinks of like YouTube or Facebook gaming when it comes to like their integrated games. So that's a little bit shitty, because I think our community in general would have a lot of fun kind of trolling us in that aspect. So I was actually thinking about maybe reaching out to Devolver Digital and thinking maybe they could consider that, or talking to the devs and possibly, you know, seeing if they could do something for us on our side of the spectrum, because there are people that do live stream games here on YouTube, even though we're basically the ones that are like kind of starting that whole trend.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people were very just fascinated by the gameplay at all. If you're really into just dungeon crawlers, kind of like that roguelite, like you said, like the micromanaging of having to, you know, make sure that you have your followers' love and their trust, or you know, that, you know, just like any good cult leader would do. I think that is really neat, how well written the game is overall, and how pretty the game is, like you said, and how it does kind of cover, it's not one specific genre, it covers a bunch of them kind of in all this little bundle. And the fact that it does have Twitch integration, I think, is really cool for those people that do have a large following or a large community that watch their streams, because it would just say like random follower did this and random whatever did that. And I thought that was really neat how they could kind of interact in the cult themselves, you know, and be a part of everything. So it really made it more of a just a community.
That's so cool. Type of game, I didn't know that.
Really neat. Yeah, I noticed it just a few a few days ago that a couple of larger streamers were talking about it that I follow on Twitter. And I was like, well, dang, that's pretty freaking cool. I want it for us.
What the hell? Rose, you should try to stream it on your Twitch.
On your Twitch and see if it would work.
Oh, yeah. Shit. I should try it. You're right. That's right.
You should.
And after you email Devolver about getting it one day to work with YouTube, you tell them they must send us one.
I know. Yes. I didn't even know they had the plushie for sale, or I would have.
Look at this mischievous little shit. Look at the price. This is so perfect.
That is adorable.
I love it.
I love it. I can't believe it. Freaking, of course, it probably sold out the first day, but
oh yeah,
the plushie was absolutely I was like, yo, and people were showing it off. I was like, what the fuck?
I didn't know.
Like, review copy? Damn, man.
I don't need a review copy. I'll give them my coin. I just want a little lamb.
Want a little lamb, like, to hang off my microphone or something. We will join your cult. Right?
Indeed. Just give us lamb. We will join your cult. And we shall ship the lamb between three states, like a strange custody arrangement. Every 4 months, you'll see it.
You'll see it in everyone's random streaming room in the background. I love it.
Travel the country. I'll take them everywhere. You can take them to PAX. It'll be great.
Exactly.
Oh, that would be dope.
Mm-hmm. You know, maybe there's one at PAX. Dope. Is Devolver going to be there?
Probably. They're everywhere.
Devolver, yeah. I'm going to make it a point. I know Doe set up a lot of appointments for me, mm-hmm. but I'm also going to be doing some side trips and trying to see whatever booth I go to as far as a game. Obviously it's going to be an indie one, but wherever I go outside of my appointments, I'm going to make sure I can have a chance to at least talk to them if I can on camera. But Devolver Digital is definitely someplace that I absolutely want to hit. I do want to talk to you a lot of the developers of the games that we've played and we've covered here on the channel, because I think that would be a great way just to sort of have like that rapport, to be like, yeah, oh hey, we got a key from you guys, blah blah blah. And I think that'd be great just to boost us in general, like just our community, and try to get more. And I got fancy cards, yo. I went to themoo.com and I got the thick ones. Yeah, because I was thinking to myself, official. Like, when you do, like, yeah, I did all I Dream of Indie, it's all I Dream, I totally like whatever, but I got like the thick ones so that, you know, when people go through like their thing, they're gonna notice that our feel different, you know, like when you have your stacks of business cards, I wanted ours to stand out more. So I spent a little extra.
I wanted to get
the tactile ones. I thought that'd be cool, but I got the ones that was they're rounded edges. Uh-huh. I thought that was fun.
That is cool.
But they're like the thick luxe ones. So they're thick. They're thick. So we have like our logo on one side that I did, and then I'm gonna have like a yellow in between, and then the other side is like a light purple with all of our info and stuff on it.
Ooh.
I know, I'm excited. I won't get here till, it's like shipping was insane. Like if you wanted it here by the 16th, it was like an extra $20. If you wanted it here by the 19th, it was like an extra like 16. And I was like, well, it won't get here till like the 29th, but that's fine. You know, as long as it's here on that day before I leave, it'll be fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then I'm gonna show it off to y'all.
Yes! I'm very excited to see it. All right. So apart from Devolver's awesomeness, Arcade Paradise was one that X Hardcore Gamer covered. This is a sim meets arcade game.
Yeah, play arcade games, manage laundry that's turning into arcade shop, maybe, but also doesn't seem to live up to its potential.
But also, like, okay, and I said the same thing as I was looking through the footage that X Hardcore Gamer says in the review. Why are you doing the people's laundry? People go to a laundromat to do their own laundry. There's not people doing it for them.
It doesn't quite make a lot of sense.
What? And then there's also some weird currency system where, like, US dollars buy certain things and like British pounds buy other things. Yeah.
Seems like a strange game, but I'm sure has its audience. I'm not like a sim game person typically. I like sim games, but the critiques that X Hardcore Gamer offered kind of, I don't know, it seems like it's missing some important marks for me about the sim game, because sim games, like, if you like them, it scratches, in my opinion, an itch.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to scratch that itch effectively. It can't actually feel like annoying, confusing, difficult work, you know?
Yeah, you don't want that itch feeling like Poison Ivy. You just want, like,
a or an STD, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, it's
like a yeast infection. Ew, but
oh no, God,
we had to go there.
I did. Well, we talked about periods early. It's only fair. And Joe's not here, so he can't be like, "What's a yeast infection?"
Help us now.
We have to give him a quick explanation.
What's that?
Oh, some God. Pictures.
So you realize that after the fact.
I'm oh my God. Well, later. I can't believe someone actually wanted him to look at that one video. I was like, oh my God, don't you dare. Like, if you think Mortuary Assistant was awful for you, that's gonna, you'll have nightmares, bro. Like, trauma from it.
Damn, I can't even imagine if Joe had seen the other endings and other shit that can happen in Mortuary's Assistant. That's the kind of shit I'd love to watch. Mm-hmm. So I've watched all of the gameplay of that, and it gets dark, gets real creepy.
Ooh. It does. But you're right about sim games. I think it has to have sort of like this immersive, like sim game is a simulation,
right?
You know, so if it doesn't really immerse you in that environment to where you feel like you are actually in that environment, then it doesn't really categorize as a sim game. It's more of like a with like the management, you know. It's more of a management sim, I would say, than an actual simulation game.
True. Didn't do it for me, but perhaps does it.
Speaking of immersive games,
tell
love
us.
Money Rock and Roll, huh?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God, 5 hours.
Well, okay, that game was great visually, but that exact, like, it visual novel to a motherfucking T. Like, it was exactly what that was. It was so descriptive and detailed. The writing was really good.
Agreed.
I was quite surprised by how well it was written. It was a little too descriptive, I think, at points.
Some points,
a content creator, I think it was a little too much just for reading. It was a lot to do. And the clean version, I'm not quite understanding what that is. I think it might mean, not that it's less descriptive, but it just is less naughty, or it has less sort of innuendo or implications to it. Because right when you thought you were finally getting to the conspiracy part of it, it just went completely different, and it was more about the protagonist Nikolai himself and his situation than what the storyline was absolutely trying to convey, which is like, you know, oh, this has something to do with his father's work because of Kobayashi Corporation, and should I tell this person the secret? And it's awfully suspicious, the people that he has around him, and now that he's starting to notice that, okay, these people are after me because something that my father might be interested in work related. It's like, well, why are you talking on the phone about it? Number one, when you've got people following you, right? And I thought that was kind of cool how he noticed he was being followed. And so he tried to like get to the guy and be like, oh, you know, why are you following me? Blah, blah, blah. And the guy tried to like phase off like he wasn't doing it. He did end up telling his best friend, Hitsune, I think was her name, the truth, but asked her, you can choose whether she tells her father or not. And then right when I clicked the choice, no, don't tell nobody, keep it a secret, I was like, it was good for him to tell her the truth because she just would have become curious anyway, you know, and it was really hurting her, the fact that he was excluding her from that part of her life when she'd been so involved in it. But when he told her not to tell, all of a sudden the phone rings and it's her father saying, you know, hey, is my daughter there? Can you just tell her to come home? Which I thought was kind of odd. So I'm thinking to myself, because I love conspiracy theories, well, maybe the father knew all along, her father did, and he wanted her to get close to see if maybe, you know, he would eventually tell her what was going on or whatever. And that's why he's allowed her to have a key to his house. Because from as far as I understand of Japanese culture, you know, and I don't know too much of it, but I do know that there is sort of like a very, that's a faux pas. Like, unless those two are married, she should not be having a kid to his house. You know, she shouldn't be cooking him dinner and acting basically like his wife and whatever. Like, I thought that was kind of odd to begin with. So that made me a little suspicious. And then it kind of dove in a little bit deep about how Kagome's father actually worked with Nikolai's father. And so when he went to go find out information from him, he mysteriously gets kidnapped. And now he and Kagome are working together. But it only gave you snippets of this conspiracy. And it was more, like I said, it was more about his life and his fuckboy status with Catherine and why she was coming back, you know, after a year of being gone and not talking to him. And it's like, oh my God, boy, get over it. She don't care about you. She's acting like you don't even exist and you guys were together for a really long time. Like that, you know, don't, why? Like, you have other problems right now, like mysterious notes and weird ass phone calls and people following you and not telling you shit. Like, why are you so concerned about Catherine? You know, and the people that he shouldn't have told the secret to you, he's telling the secret to you, as opposed to maybe telling Michael, who I would probably tell, because he seems like that type of person where you could give information to, and one, he would keep it a secret, and two, would probably give you his opinion on how you should deal with it in a calm, collect manner, because he seems more of like that intelligent type, you know? So it was really bizarre. The graphics, though, were absolutely fantastic. So beautiful. I loved it. It was really, it was. You could choose between clean and immersive, and we went with immersive the first part, and I loved the immersive version. I love the writing of it. I loved the detail in the backgrounds. I thought that was fantastic. There were a couple of scenes that annoyed me, like, why was the chalkboard empty when you're in a school? That's a little odd. You know, the students aren't working on anything or like looking at anything. You should at least have some type of, yeah, some type of
The girl with the
Japanese
neck.
character. The neck was
Oh,
weird. It looked like she was about
yeah.
to spit pea soup on the person behind her. Who the hell was she looking at anyway? Right? It was the weird. And then the dude with the thing. What are you doing there? Leave. Get out. Like, and then they had this one character that was sitting on the teacher's desk, which I'm sure would have been highly inappropriate for that type of school anyway. And again, there was nothing on the board. There's nothing to look at. But I will say, though, that it was beautifully drawn, beautifully written. It was a very immersive experience, but it just took too long to get to the fucking point. Like, I still, and the only reason I spent 5 hours playing it was the dialogue is really good. And right when we thought we were getting to like the point of the conspiracy, it dropped the ball. So then you're like, well, fuck, maybe this next scene is going to be it. And there's no clear-cut way to end a visual novel.
No,
It's
unless
that
you're ending
lengthy.
it like
Yeah,
ending.
you have to like, you either have to get to the ending or as close to the ending as possible so that you want to kind of leave the audience in a bit of a cliffhanger like we do. You know, we always like to kind of give those perspectives and entice you enough with our gameplay so that you can try the game for yourself or at least take a look at it and experience, you know, what we're trying to show you how to experience the game or how we're dealing with it. And there was no clear-cut way to end it. So I was like, fuck, guys, like, I'm sorry. But it was so good, but bad at the same time. It was a weird mix of a feeling for me. It was great game, but just long as fuck, and nothing that I would actually recommend streaming. If you're gonna play offline, fine, but as a content creator, I would not do that game ever
It
again.
also it wasn't broken up into chapters or sections or anything, was it?
No, not really.
It
You
would have
just sort of
benefited from that.
Yeah, you just kind of played it to whatever point it decided to end on, and it did not auto save. So when we would go to the next scene and it did that weird loading thing and it would tell you like the date. First off, the dates were weird because it seemed like they were going by different months date-wise, but then it was like every day this boy was like, it was weird. Like the timing of it was off in general, and they were right, the clock was wrong. You know, no, of course our community would notice that. I think Acrophobe was the one who pointed it out, like, is it even? Because it said 10 o'clock, but the, or it said 2 something, and the clock was like at 10. Like, you could at least change that because people are going to notice that shit, you know? But it was, yeah, it was a good game. I would definitely recommend people play it. I think it's fantastic as far as a visual novel specifically, but for content creation, bow out. Don't do it. Not worth the streaming. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that can happen with visual novels. Like,
like the one I reviewed, the Corpse Factory, that is one that I loved. I would never stream it because it's so long. So, or you'd have to like really take like some long, like some big breaks in between, or do like a videos, like make a gameplay series of it. So that's more controlled and you can kind of like follow it at a particular pace. But I would say for Love, Money, Rock and Roll, if you found the story to be a bit long, it's not that the story is long, it's that it's wasting time. Because, like, I'm sure we've all seen, read, engaged with media that's, like, can be, time-wise, take quite a while. But it doesn't always feel that way. It doesn't feel that way when it's a lot of, like, action, plot, a lot of, you know, movement going on within the narrative.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. And there was no movement. and everyone, because of Love in the title, I guess, assumed it, Joe especially, assumed it was going to be some type of dating simulation.
I was hoping it was going to be.
I was like, well, I thought, okay, am I going to win? Well, first of all, I was never going to win Charlotte back because she was just being a bitch. She was being an, I don't like calling. I mean, in a video game, I can call because she's not necessarily a real person. I would never want to call a real person that in person because I think that's derogatory. But she was just a bitch, frankly. She was awful. And this poor dude was like pining for her. And it was why you have Hitsune, who's like madly in love with you, you know, so tell the girl you don't want anything to do with her, you know, relationship wise, so that she can just move the fuck on. You know, and then you have Kagome, who could possibly be a love interest because of just the interaction that you had with her. She was pretty, you know, engaging, I thought, as a character. But it was really just, it just made no, it made sense, but it also didn't make sense at the same time. You know, it was just, you were just reading a book out loud. There weren't really any choices. It wasn't character progressive. It was literally just a visual novel in the truest sense of the word, and just a narrative story overall. And yeah, you could make choices, but they weren't integral to what you were doing in the first place. Like, it didn't make any drastic change to the storyline that you would normally assume in these type of games, because most of these games are character progressive, character choice progressive. So whatever you choose changes the ending of the story. But I didn't get that with this. I didn't get that feeling that if it had multiple endings, it never said that it did, but I would not assume that a game like this would have one. And if it did have one, it would maybe one or two, but nothing that would be detrimental and drastically change the story that you were playing, because there weren't many choices to choose from.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reason that we all kind of thought it was going to have those dating sim elements isn't just because of the love portion of the title, but also I'm pretty sure on the Steam page one of the tags was dating sim, so we were like, okay, maybe we can like progress this to that kind of scenario, and maybe you still can, but it just
maybe I'm definitely going to continue playing it only because I myself am just, you know, where I ended the game, and I'm curious because it seems, I'm like crossing my fingers that finally she's going to meet up with Kagome, because he has like a date to meet up with her to figure out what's going on with her father. They're going to go to Kobayashi Corporation from what I understand. And so I'm like, oh my God, please, like, let's finally be it where we find out, you know, what's going on, or at least we dive more into the conspiracy. But they just stretched it out so far that I don't feel like the game should have been as long as it was when I was playing it.
So, speaking of weird things to have read online on a stream, do you want to talk about Frail Hearts, which Legend almost streamed?
Oh, yeah!
Rose streamed instead.
I'm glad you didn't have to stream that, especially, like, let's say if you would have had to stream that yesterday, because it would have been a lot of back-to-back talking non-stop streams. It definitely was very story rich. Frail Hearts,
and rich it was.
Yeah, very. What can I say? There was a pixelated wee wee.
There was, and we relished it.
Yes, we love the wee wee. There was really creepy, weird, detailed art. All of the art was eerie. Like, it has not, maybe eerie is not the word. It has this edge to it. What's that phrase of, like, when you're the faces that almost look human, but not
uncanny
quite?
Uncanny Valley.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everybody's deep in the uncanny valley. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. The art, super uncanny. It's got this theatrical vibe, like it's taking place sort of like there's a play and there's cards and there's monsters and you kill them and you collect lust, and lust is how you power up your characters. You're the four main ones that you're following their story. I don't know what the fuck is going on in that world. Like, there's demons and there's a guy who does magic, and some of it seems to have to do with, like, the personal turmoils and issues the characters have individually based on what I've played so far. Mm-hmm. It seems like the two characters that I started, it follows whatever trauma they've got going on. And it's such a dark and terrible world. Also, what was it? Feck.
Yes.
It doesn't say fuck. They say feck. Feckin' bugger.
Which I think was meant to sound like Scottish, I think. Yeah. One of the characters was. I kind of like got that out of it, but it was also just so weird to see that typed out as an expletive. What a weird game. Like, it was fascinating to watch, but
super
so
weird in the best way possible, I would say. You just have to embrace confusion. When you feel the confusion, you say, all right, let me just figure out what the mood is, what the vibe is, and the vibe's let probably
wash over you.
Yeah just soak yourself in the vibe. It's a fucking weird one, and I liked it a lot. So weird.
Also had some like RPG elements to it, kind of.
Yeah, later on you get to some RPG, some fighting, and you actually, well, it didn't seem too hard from when I played. Like, I kind of found some moves I could do and spam. Like, who was it? The tank character. Like, once you have him taunt, you can just use the other fuckers to wail on the enemy. Just like the magic boy, who was the weirdest one. I think he's sort of the protagonist. You just magic every bitch on the way, and you're done. The curly-haired girl, who seems to be really rude, but smart. She has a dog. Quite a game.
yeah, that was something. Then
we had, so when you guys noticed the pixelated Weeby, because of course you know that's yeah, my full takeaway from the game that you were describing.
It was ours too, honestly.
Was it like, was it shocking to you? Like, was the whole, like, what? I just couldn't imagine our community just like, what?
Well, it was pixelated, so I mean,
It wasn't anything that was going to change your worldview. In fact, this that you're seeing on the screen, this moment where he's fighting this monster, when you kill the monster, it turns into a man, a naked man who's dead because you shot him in the head. And then you see his wee-wee. It's very little, but he's naked, so I knew. I was like, that's the wee-wee. And it really draws attention.
If you're
going to
put a wee-wee in a game, though, you should tell people, yo, you're going to see who, there's possible wee-wees in here.
I told everybody at the beginning of this stream, I was like, just so you know, guys, I was looking through the Steam tags and it does say nudity, and I have no idea how that's going to apply to this weird ass game, but that's what it said. And everybody was like, yeah, yeah. And then we saw what we saw. And that was it. That was the end.
Yeah, there was a wee-wee, but the game did not really bring any attention to it. It was just me. I saw it and I had to comment it because that is
how can you not? You have to. Like, that's, you're just obligated as something. You gotta point out the wee-wees, yo.
Yo.
If you don't, someone else will, damn it.
And they did. Many did.
Yep. So that was Frail Hearts. Strange. Damn. And has a wee wee. That is my full summary.
The review.
that's my review.
That's it. That's my review.
Yep.
Wee wee. Got wee wee happening. Wee wee.
Speaking of pee-pees, then you played Gigabash.
I did, and I made myself laugh so hard by all the sex jokes I was making because
you were popping off with those jokes.
I killed myself, made myself laugh hysterically. I was crying, I almost snorted, I felt it coming, but I was like, oh, pull back. I was crying. It was so funny because I didn't mean to, like, I meant to do like the pee-pee joke with the hole, and then when I said what I said afterwards, I was like, oh,
what? No.
Oh my god, it was amazing. And that's when I saw Joe say, congratulations, you're 12-year-old. Yes sir. Mm-hmm. I sure am.
Proud. 10,
actually. Well, maybe a little bit younger than that, because my daughter was she heard some of the reference. She was like, you know, walk in at the worst time. It's not like I can lock that door, but I loved Gigabash. It was so much fun. I realized when you play it afterwards that there's more to the story of each individual character, I think, if you just kind of like, I'm going to check it out and see if there is, but because I noticed when I was looking at the map of one, I don't know if it was the woolly one, if it was like the thunder guy, but I noticed that there was a red spot in a different area of a map, and that was, I know that it was something that I didn't go to, so I think there's more to this rare mode than what I thought there was, but I loved the gameplay of it. I thought that was fun. I do think that we should all play it together. It's hilarious. I just wanted to get through most of just the storyline and gameplay via stream, because, you know, middle of the week is kind of hard to do multiplayer because you end up playing like for fucking ever when you do that stuff. But I thought it was amazing. I would absolutely recommend it as just a casual game, whether you're doing couch co-op or online. Split screens are a little weird for me, so online would probably be preferable for those that may have eye issues or get headaches, you know. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people say that with flashing lights, but I think with split screen too, that can be a little daunting for more than one person that's playing the game. But I thought the graphics were fantastic, and the pee-pee was my fighting pee-pee was a little weird. It was weird. It was different because you played the Gorgon first, right? So you went through the Gorgon storyline, at least the first half of it. And he's like, beat him up, pick him up, throw him or whatever. It took me a minute to adjust to the pee-pee gameplay because the game is absolutely right. You don't, when a game says that everyone has their own special abilities and different play style, you don't think so. Necessarily, you think, okay, maybe they have a different fighting special ability, you know, as far as the character that I previously played, but play style is probably going to be generally the same, but it's not.
No.
Each character absolutely has its own specific individual play style, so you can't play one character the same way that you
just
can
play
another.
Just wait until you unlock the building.
I am excited for that. Uh-huh. I'm absolutely going to keep playing it. And I don't usually play games like this offline in my spare time, but I think this is the graphics were great. I love the stories of each individual character. The woolly thing was fucking cute as fuck. And I don't know why I didn't notice the tails. I loved it. I loved the game. I thought it was fantastic. It was so cool. And I don't normally play fighting games like that at all. So this was like my first real immersive. Kidding.
It was such a delight to watch you play something and like just have so much pure joy, laughter, fun. It was just like, it was lovely.
I love it. I'm glad you guys
more of this for Legend.
It was so different compared to the games that we have been playing so far, you know, on the channel. And like I said, it was completely out of my comfort zone. I do not play fighting games. I don't generally like them, especially when the Steam page says Smash Bros. I know a lot of people who play Smash Bros. Smash Bros. Is fucking sweaty. And I'm like, well, I don't want to play a sweaty game on stream. You know, I don't want to do that. Like, I sweat enough as it is. You know, just living my life. I don't want to be sweaty game and do all that stuff, but it was so much fun and I genuinely enjoyed it. I really did, because it wasn't just a fighting game. It did have a story to it. I liked just the individual characters. All of them were fantastic. I thought it was really cool. The fact that you can like pick up the buildings and throw them. The Giga dude was hilarious because he had like the dad bod, and I'm just like, but it, and then if you saw like the back of him, it looked like there was a zipper. So then I'm like, who's this dude? Is he like a giant? Is he still some little dude with like special powers? When he gets in the suit, he gets ginormous. Like, what is that? And then the fact that the dude's eye, like the Gorgon's eyeballs, freaked me out. Like, he was ugly, ugly. But his fighting style was really cool. And the whole, like, the snail was just, I did not mean to make it into a vagina joke, but for some reason, that was like the first thing that came to my mind. You know, not that there's anything wrong with those kind of things, but. You know, you don't see them often except in those situations.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, listen, it was a lot of fun to play. I liked how you can use the environment to your advantage. I love the fact that you could TV too, so you can have a friend come play with you and you guys can fight the monsters together just like you do in the story mode. I love the different levels. So the casual gameplay was perfect for me. There's balance, there's Apex, and then there's Apocalypse, which you can't unlock until you play Apex, which I thought was really cool. If you wanted to outdo your score, you can. And the fact that it has remote play was also awesome. So I say this a lot on live stream, but I don't know if I've ever really covered it. I think we even covered it on a podcast too. But remote play is any game on Steam where your friends do not have to own it. You guys can still play it together. Now, it does... was it kind of extend the computer? I forgot like the nameplay of it. Like it emulates your computer screen. So like one person will probably only play controller and the other person would probably have to play keyboard, mouse, but they do have sort of access to your PC and your game style. So if they click off while you're playing, then it's on your screen. Everything will pause and stuff. So you do have to be kind of weary of that depending on the type of game that you play. But I love the fact that Steam offers it. So that people don't have to purchase a game in order to play with their friends. They can just play with them online anyway. And the price for the game really is for that much work, for that much fun, for that much opportunity to play with people and the graphics. If for a fighting game, $34.99 is not fucking bad at all. Like, that's really cheap for that much.
Yeah.
That you
it has
get.
A lot of really replayability cool. factor.
Yep.
Yes.
With the
a lot of replayability factor.
It's also great that like story mode basically just teaches you how to play those four core characters. Mm-hmm. So that like it's a great way to start. Like if you don't want to just dump into playing online or with friends, you can kind of teach yourself how to play and teach them all their moves. And the reason I like Pee-Pee so much is because he has a projectile, which I don't know if you got.
Yep. If that you hit Y, you can part. Do that little orb thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love like, the fact that he was an alien. Like, it wasn't like a monster that came from, like, the depths of the Earth's core. It was, like, dude was just traveling through space.
He just got lost. He was just a lost pee-pee. Anyway, great game. Great stream. Had a blast watching you play. Also had a blast watching Rose play Shin-chan.
Which, that was the twerking boy we saw earlier.
It was. I don't know what the full name of this game is. It has an exceptionally long title.
Shin-chan, something about a summer adventure and a professor.
Yeah, professor, summer adventure.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Mega, ultra, super blast boy 1989. You know, one of those kind of titles. Mm-hmm. Based off of a Japanese show. I'm not sure if it's an anime and a manga, but... I know it's an anime. We had some discussion of it in the chat. Mm. My husband let me know that he did see it. He saw it all and he saw it in Spain and he loved it. So I already know that it's going to have a lot of, I imagine the original show has a lot of Tom and Jerry era style humor.
It's pretty inappropriate, to be quite honest with you. I've seen little snippets of it, but the title is Shin-chan, Me and the Professor on Summer Vacation, The Endless 7-Day Journey, which, yes, is a really fucking long title for a game, but
so
it's pretty inappropriate. Like, as far as I understand it, like, the jokes are very...
That's the Cartoon Network one, though, the Adult Swim one, which is, like, a parody of the original one, which was, like, a Japanese kids cartoon.
Oh, okay. So, well, because I was like thinking, like, Japanese aren't usually very crude and disgusting. So that makes more sense. But
Adult Swim made it I did not know Adult Swim about the parody of Adult Swim. I'll have to look that up. But anyway, what was the phrase that you came up with, Silent Signs? We were chatting before this for Shin Chan. It was like wholesome twerking. That is my summary. That is my review for this game. Wholesome twerking. You shall catch bugs, fish. Have dinner with people
and shake your ass
all over the beautiful Japanese rural town. All over that town, you will clap those cheeks and no one will care.
Nope. You can go to a bar, you can shake your ass at the bar.
They've got a dance floor and a disco ball in the bar that you can clap your cheeks at.
It's a simulation game.
Like the most apt comparison I could potentially offer is like kind of Animal Crossing, because you are like young child person in a new place, capturing, discovering all these things.
Yeah, you can fish, right? You can catch bugs.
You're taking pictures with your camera and then reviewing it afterwards, and you can do a curveball description question mark.
Was great. Those were always great.
It was a fantastic game. I know all of this doesn't sound like I'm saying it's fantastic. Like the twerking stuff is mostly like playful. He's shaking his butt, but it doesn't look like exactly like twerking. It does not look exactly like twerking. It could be more sexualized, we could say, but it's so cute despite the twerking that you think that would make it not cute. It's really cute. It's chill. I love it. I recommend everyone play Shin Chan and twerk to your heart's content.
Don't ask questions. Just embrace just the weirdness.
Don't ask questions. Just do. I love the fact that you played a game that made, when you can play a game that makes you laugh at your own stupidity.
Oh yep. My God. I don't laugh. Like, I really, I don't laugh much. Something is wrong with me. I'll be that bitch that you'll put a comedy special and I'm just like, oh, that was a good one. Just fucking dead fish face. And seeing, knowing that there's a fucking dedicated twerk button on the controller.
No.
And I can make him twerk.
Everywhere. What was it called? What was the real name?
Alien butt.
Yeah.
Why is it an alien butt? Is it because it lifts?
I don't know. When you click to see the controls, that's what it's labeled. It said alien butt.
It was wonderful. I love it. God.
Joe scared the shit out of me because he kept saying it was platinum, and I was like, oh fuck, we're gonna have another situation with the Pepsi Bear and the sledgehammer game. Whoa. Whatever that to play at one time. But no, it was premium indeed. Premium cheeks, premium cake.
Premium cheeks, I like that.
Grade A beef. Yes. Which is a weird thing to say about a 5-year-old, so I'm going to retract that statement. It's a great game, though.
It was.
A lot of fun to watch.
I know. And if you guys are interested in finding out when our reviews drop, you know, when we have an upcoming live stream, you guys can always like and subscribe our YouTube channel. But you can follow us on Twitter at iDreamOfIndie. We always update. We always schedule. I mean, I say we, but it's really it's just you, Rose, right?
You and Joe has to step in for me often.
It's you guys that usually do all the Twitter stuff, but at iDreamOfIndie on Twitter so that you guys can get all like the cool.
Also, the cool stay updates. Tuned for this Saturday because we might have a little stream going, a little community stream going.
Yes, there might be special things going on, so make yourselves available to us on Saturday, and
You might have a great time.
I'm excited. We might even try to make it.
Who knows? Anything's possible. There might be
bits. Anything's possible with us.
I don't know.
I never know what's going on. I just do what Joe tells me.
And we love it. But anyway, let's talk about the news. I don't have much this week. Was there anything? I mean,
there's not really much. I mean, there's the integration that we touched on a little bit earlier, but Flower Rave, right? She gave us the Restless Soul.
Ah, yes. Restless Soul?
Yeah, Restless Soul. I clicked on the wrong thing. Oh, yes! Didn't this show up in one of the showcases?
Yes, so now it has a release date, which is September 1st. I don't know if I've already expressed, but I need to play this game. I love ghosties. Little ghosties is my favorite thing. Buddy Simulator 1984. Ever heard of it? It's a great game. Everybody needs to play that game.
Just haven't gone around to play. Like, I have a list. I have the Songbird Symphony. I've got so many recommended, but it's just like...
Anyway, this game looks fantastic.
It does. Oh my god. You have to review this. I must know and then play. I'll probably like it.
It's so cute. So I'm just excited that there is officially a release date, and it's very soon. September 1st.
Autumn's a crazy time for games. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
And slammed with them. We had like a kind of a bit of a drought, a famine, you will.
An indie famine. And now it's indie feast.
Yes. So you got to start getting the stretchy pants out.
Yeah, that's what I love about fall. Summertime is when all the games are announced, and then fall, winter time frame is generally when they start to release.
I just like the time between like now and October where all the spooky games come out. It's like my season.
I'm excited for Oh my god, just spooky games are live.
Yes.
I love
the spooky and the kind of cutely spooky like this one. So we must play.
Also, I got the trailer for the other one that we have an article for, Grim Guardians Demon Purge.
Yeah.
Seems like, do we know anything about this? Is just an announcement of it, or do we have a date?
Not released. Yeah. Don't have a date, but it does look fab. I don't know if you want to show the trailer.
Yeah. I have trailer right here. Y'all see it?
I do.
Excellent. I will leave the audio off because, you know,
loud noises.
It's going to make a little bit of a mess, but visually I can already say, mwah.
Yeah, look at this art.
Oh,
Look at their little bobbing.
I love it. And the fact that it's going to be available on all consoles, especially the Switch, I think is really something to look forward to because we have a lot of Switch players.
Yes.
In our community. And sadly, a lot of the indies that we play aren't adapted to the Switch yet, which makes it really awful for them. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, they have other avenues of playing these games, but a lot of people prefer the handheld. And so it'll be nice to finally have a game where the Switch is compatible with it and where people can play it via that platform, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And the Purge is coming out with a lot of games, too. Specifically for the Switch. I think Neon White's going to be adapted to that. Kentucky Route Zero, which I believe is an interactive visual novel.
Yes.
And The Artful Escape is just the few games that are on their way to the Switch as well. So a lot of our people will not have to, you guys in general, will not have to wait long to be able to check out the games that we do offer here on iDream of Indie and play them for themselves on the Nintendo.
Yeah. Also, this game, Grim Guardians, reminds me of the one I had to play that had me rage. Yeah. Except it looks good.
Yeah, I was thinking that same thing as I was looking at the art. Just the art style alone kind of reminds me of that, but it does look like it plays.
It's a Castlevania. It's absolutely Castlevania like. Just looking at that gameplay the platforming and the way the maps look and all that.
Yeah, but the castle-esque atmosphere.
Yeah, you know, the way the enemies, the type of enemies, the way they were coming in. It's all, the it's all shells.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's all shouts, Castlevania.
It does. And it reminds me a little bit of, what's that one game? Is it called Bloodstain or something?
Blood Rain.
Blood, yeah. It's got to look so bad to see the title. You know, oh, that so one. The thing where, you know, they do the stuff.
We know.
You know that one, yeah.
It's okay. The game with the thing that you
game
do.
The thing that does the stuff.
That's exactly. All you have to say. Sorry. We'll figure it out. We'll put our three brain cells together.
Exactly. I like it. I think it looks fantastic.
Does.
I love watching games like these. I'm not super fond of Castlevania. I don't think I've played a lot of them to get really a valid opinion on it, right? But from what I've seen so far, I do know that they're one of the most popular genres that are around, besides sort of like the, I'd have to say like the maybe like first person shooters or like the roguelike type stuff. But I know that Castlevanias are very, very important to the gaming industry. And if you fuck that up, man, they will let you know.
That is
Castlevania cool. And Metroidvania games. People have a high opinion and a strong one at that about those type of that genre specifically. So if you fuck that up, man, dude. So you better make sure you do a good job, because they will not, they'll be mean. They'll be mean about it.
But then what we do is we, like we said earlier, either we shame them so much, they become our followers of our indie cult, or
join the cult. Yes.
Yes. Join our cult, or you are nothing to us.
Or just move on. That's somebody awesome. Else. Like, yes. Whatever.
Yeah. bother somebody who cares.
Oh, I wanted to take some to go over the Fanatical deals. So just as a reminder, we put deals that we have with Fanatical. We are partnered with them. We've got code. I will not read it out loud because you can find it in the description of this, YouTube, in our community posts, everywhere. We can put tattooed on our butts one day, I'm sure.
Oh yes.
But if you like anything they have to offer, and they've got some fantastic deals, if you use our code at the end of the URL, you'll support us as well. Right now we've got Two Point Campus 21% off The Great Ace Attorney Chronicles, which I definitely want to play. Love the Ace Attorney shit.
Those are so fun.
I was just served ice cream, by the way.
You are living my dream.
Oh, and a fancy cup too. Damn.
Got it from a thrift store.
Oh man, I love thrift store finds. Yeah, there's a couple of things that are around my neighborhood, but I've yet to.
Oh, you gotta go. Come on.
I know.
That's where the hidden gems are. There's a crystal
shop like down the street from me, but for some reason it's like never freaking open when I want to go. Yeah. And all I can think of is that, like, you walk in there and there's nothing but, like, crystals everywhere. I don't even know. I don't know what's inside. It's enticing me. It's calling me. My daughter's like, we got to go in there. But every time we try to go, it's always, like, closed or doesn't look like anyone's in the parking lot. And you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. There's a place like that in my town, too. It's amazing. I've been in there once and they have, like, the coolest vintage clothes. Like, just old shit that people got rid of. Like, stuff that people have cherished for generations and, like, kept in pristine condition and, like, coolest jewelry. But every time I go, it's closed.
Lame.
Why are you taunting me? Why is your store so huge and your sign so big, but you won't let me in?
We love a good deal. We love Fanatical. I think Pumpkin Jack's still for sale, which is a great game, and you should definitely check it out.
67% off. I do want to
check that out. I've had that on my Steam wish list, I think. I think I still have it on there for a really long time.
This is good.
I really wanted to check it out and to play it. I did also mention, is Slime Rancher considered an indie? I don't know. I would consider it an indie. So my daughter actually told me that Slime Rancher 2 is going to be available for Game Pass when it gets released. So everyone will have a chance to play that. They're really excited. They're like, Mom, can you get Slime Rancher 2? I'm like, I'm going to try. But I'm hoping that they'll be at PAX and then I can be like, hey.
Hey.
Gonna go through me. You know? But I do feel like I'll definitely have some code. Like, what's cool about gaming conventions is that you do get a lot of codes. You do get to try out a lot of games. So I'm hoping that I can bring a lot of fun stuff with me back and then we can check those out, maybe even have some extra to give to our community. Do like a little giveaway. I thought that would be fun. So I'm so excited. So I've always wanted to go to a PAX. I'm really excited to finally be able to get to this one because they closed the one in Texas.
Oh,
they don't do that anymore. And TwitchCon is coming up, but I mean, TwitchCon is really just, they don't really have an indie gaming section necessarily. Like they have like an indie gaming alley, but it's only just like a handful. It's nothing that would be compared to you know, the PAX type of situation. And Twitch is really just sort of like a meet and greet for community members, and a lot of people just hook up for the most part.
Yeah,
we see parties here and there, and then there's always something that happens, you know, drama wise. Someone has to do a twit longer whenever you come back from one of these things. But I do like the fact that PAX is implementing, you know, masks. You know, you do have to show proof of vaccination and stuff, which is really cool. I like that. Not a lot of conventions are doing that nowadays, which is preventing a lot of content creators like us from going, you know, because some of us are still, you know, a little more aware of that, you know. So I want to make sure that I think I'm missing a couple of boosters. So I want to get at least one before I go. So at least being kind of doubled up on stuff. But I'm super excited for all of it. I need to get an I Dream of Indie t-shirt, which I completely forgot to order. But I'm going to try to grab that as soon as I can so that I can take it with me. And if you guys want your own I Dream of Indie merch, we do have our store available. So if you go to bonfire.com and look I Dream of Indie, we have even our old logo is available for you guys.
Retro, yeah.
Show off. You've got tote bags, coffee mugs. I'm an avid coffee mug collector. A lot of what I brought back with me from Universal were cups. You know, I love me a good coffee cup.
I understand that mug collections.
I love that shit. I love them so much. So if you guys do get that, you can all, you know, if you do purchase anything from the store, if you have anything that you guys want to reach out to us about, you know, don't hesitate to join our Discord. You know, we do have our community memberships available, either an Indie Warrior, Indie Legend, each with their own specific access to different channels of our community. And then, you know, post pictures, tag us on Instagram at I Dream of Indie Official. We haven't posted a lot on there recently because
I gotta get back at it
with stuff. Yeah, Instagram is so hard to do sometimes.
It's a tricky one, you know, if you're not wearing leggings and or have a dog, it's like, is your Instagram ever gonna pop off?
And I really do, like, I can only take so many fucking selfies of myself to post on there. You know, if you're lucky enough to have one of those fancy things, like, I don't want to drag my like big old tripod up there to like take selfies, and they have all these fun contraptions that they're coming out with now to help, you know, selfies be more hands-free. But I don't cosplay, really. It's just me as a person, and there's only so many like selfies of myself that I can take before I'm just like, yo, this is enough. And like your faces too, because then you're just like, oh, and you know, there's a quiet thing. And it's Instagram is just hard because you don't really know how to navigate that, and reels are better than posts. So that's the thing. And then
I can't even do the cute kawaii thing because like my fingers
mess. I just,
that's all I can do.
I do like I
go
I
for do the bird.
Everyone does the peace sign, you know. Everyone does kawaii. That. You know, the kawaii. And I don't know how to do things super cute. I really don't. And I try to like look at all the other gorgeous people out there. They're doing their selfies, and I have one a team member of mine on Athena, Amani. She's a little chaos and she does a lot of cosplay, so I'm always like looking at her
on Twitter. She's awesome.
She's so sweet and she's so kind, and she's going to PAX too, so we'll be hanging out with her while I'm there and stuff. But I'm like, I try to take things from her, but she's got a man that can take photos for her because they're both content creators and they're both cosplayers. And you know, I could have like King of the Nerds is the worst at taking photos because he doesn't know angles, right?
So anytime he tries problem. To take a
picture of us, I'm always like, no, you have to lift. It's got you.
Oh my God. Is it just a fucking thing so many men do that they'll put that bitch down here?
And that's like, right.
I don't want to see my chin and my double chin and like all those shadows. No. What are you doing?
I look like a fucking gremlin and not in a cute way. Like,
yeah, it, not a cute gremlin. Here, just like here. Potato right. human.
I tell him that all that I'm always like, well, he always wants to do dead on or like you, oh like, God, no, yeah. or down here, no, up, angles, sir, angles, because then angles, I can at least bitch. Like fuck in a little bit, you know, and like turn to my side and, you know, do like I hate it. He's the worst at taking pictures. He does not take them often. And I'm like, yo, you are the, I mean, my kids are there. And then my daughters, they always make fun of me. You know, wait, did you wink, mom? Remember when we did the dailies? They call it, did you wink? Did you wink at the end?
Oh, they're like, so cute.
Making fun of me. Or they'll stand in the, because I like doing it out in the patio. Because I'm like, okay, we'll just do nature background, right? Like I touch grass occasionally. Sunlight. I have some in my yard, right? It's green. It's growing. So they'll be like at the sliding glass door and they'll like do little poses and they're just totally making fun of me. It's like, you're so mean. Why? I blocked my daughter. She goes, Mom, why did you block me from Instagram? I'm like, you don't need to see that. You don't need to see those because I got to do the girl thing. You know, you have to be sometimes extra feminine,
yeah.
you know, to be able to like, but I like, and it just, I feel like, I'm like, I feel uncomfortable. Like I'm not doing anything inappropriate, but it feels weird that you follow me. So don't.
Yeah.
So I blocked her. I blocked her from it.
You're her mama. Like, don't you can follow do me. What you wish.
It's so weird. It's so weird. Cause then her friends will find out, oh, your mom streams on Twitch. And then I get all these weird, you know, kid questions. You know, and they're always a lot of people like who think like if you just tell people that you live stream in general, they think, well, already you must make tons of money. Oh, you guys have like all this and, you know, you're a Twitch streamer. Wow. You must make
a 10 mansions.
Dude.
Yes.
No, maybe one day we can make tons of money. I'm excited for that. But, you know, I'd a like lot of what we earn, like, we have to put back into the channel, right? Because we can't give you guys content without. You know, so clicking the links do help, you know, our sponsorships, you know, do help us because the little bit that we do get goes back to just the channel. Like you're just never ending feeding the funnel of it all. And it just eats away at all because you need the equipment.
All we can do is talk about indie games and promote indie devs who create such awesome shit, but then like not even 0.1% of the potential audience that they could have reached, they did reach, which is of no fault of their own. But
that's where we come in.
Yeah, we're like, try the game, please.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I love about our channel specifically is that we don't just do the reviews, but we do all of it. You know, we do the reviews, we talk about the games like we do here on the podcast. We like to shoot the shit. You know, and just gab about the industry things and the fact that we have live streams now on YouTube, which is, I think, fantastic because, you know, we're capitalizing on that. You know, not a lot of indie game reviewers are as detailed as we are when we do our content. And so that makes us stand out a little bit more. And I love the fact that we do what we can to be as authentic without having to clickbait you guys to come watch our channel. Yeah. It's fantastic. And the friendships that we've made overall is the coolest ones I've had to say. Like, don't let anyone tell you that online friends are fake, man. They are real.
Well, you know, all of my experience before y'all definitely solidified that kind of thought process. It's just like I'll never find my community. I'll never, you know, I'm sure y'all have been through it before.
Oh, yeah.
You'll do different Discords, just different game communities, meet new people, and there's always too many things wrong. Too many things like, oh, I can't really connect with you on that deep level.
Yeah.
But it's like everybody in our fucking I Dream of Indie community is awesome. Like, I've never been so active with people I've never met before and just have, like,
laugh at the stupid shit we talk about and just share our passion for these games and for the message behind it all. You know, it's like, it's wild. If I can get a bit sensitive here, it's been very beautiful. It's like, it's been so delightful. You think like when you get out of school, you'll never make friends. And it's like, I made friends and I made awesome ones. Ah,
it's really true. As an adult, like, you know, after you graduate high school, college, it's really hard to meet people that are not even just like-minded, but just like fun to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so yeah, it's a beautiful little community. I feel like I've got little friends all over the world, actually, because we're all over the place.
I love it. And we match each other's energy, which is fantastic. And no one is ever disrespectful. You know, we all have differing opinions, but no one's a troll, which I like.
Not purposely. Sometimes.
No, not purposely. Trolling. Yeah. And if anything gets misunderstood, we're always able to talk about it like adults. Like, I can't stand people who talk shit. I hate that. Like, if you can't say anything to that person's face that you're willing to say behind their back, like, just don't say it at all. Like, keep it to yourself.
It's very immature. You know? Don't be friends with that person.
Yeah, don't be friends with that person. Don't be in that. It's so awful. Like, if you can't say anything, if someone, you know, like, I'm that type of person. Like, hey, did you talk shit about me? Yes, and this is what I said. You know? Yes. That's exactly right. And this is why that I said it, you know? So I never say anything that I'm not afraid to say in front of people's face. And I love the fact that we can always calmly discuss our differing opinions. And we've never had an issue, which is fantastic. We never have an issue at all. But if you guys are interested in joining a Discord, all you got to do is just become a community member.
Now that we plugged it so well.
Yeah, but I know.
Also,
I like
those
it.
Of you don't I? Are part I love it. Of our community.
I love it.
My
youngest daughter and I were talking about that. She was like, oh, you know, most YouTubers always say like in the beginning to subscribe or whatever. And at the end to subscribe or whatever. And I'm like, well, you have to constantly have to talk. I like to talk about the links during our streams. I like being able to explain, like, hey, you guys can go to the Steam page. It's in our description box. It's down below. Just click that link or do all this, because when you say it in the middle of, you know, there's no way that person can fast forward to that shit. Right? Mm-hmm. You know? They get all that information from us. But the best way to get the content is just by subscribing, because that's free. And that helps us bring voice and visibility to indie games. We get so many really cool emails saying how just bringing voice to the voiceless ones in gaming resonates with them. And I think that's really cool that we're able to have that message. And people are like, yo, all right, I don't know what the fucking indie game is, but I'm sure as hell going to check this channel out. And that's what brings us joy. And I like that.
Indeed.
Now we've had a beautiful, sensitive moment to share our felines and our feelings.
I did share a feline.
There was a feline, and you know, Wally, he's sort of like half feline.
He's feline-esque.
Yeah, it's within the territory. Nowhere near as smart, but he has
but some twice as beautiful.
He likes the cat toys. So he's almost there. He's trying, just not enough bran. Nothing in that beautiful head. But thank you so much, everyone, for joining us for the podcast. Is there anything we forgot to mention? I don't think so. So just keep tuned for Saturday. We're going to potentially play together.
Yes.
And not just us here on the team, but with you.
You will play with us.
Yes.
Join us.
Maybe we'll do a Shin Chan speed run twerk
run,
twerk only run.
On that note, thank you, you beautiful people. Goodbye.
Bye.